Hello, everyone, and welcome. Well, you know how they say the third time's a charm? But when you deal with the pirate Jendra, second time is even better. So, without further ado, let me introduce to you my favorite Ruth from England.
Hello, Mal.
Hi.
Good to be here.
How long ago was it when you first came here?
It was in the summer of 2015.
So that was 11 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, that was when you rang me. I think it was probably about August 2015. You rang me because I had been reading. I started reading in about June, July of 2015. Started reading the forum and put a little post up, I think, then. And just wanting to reach out and see if there was anybody else in the UK to get into contact with, and sent you a little email, I think, and you rang me up, and I was quite shocked.
Yes, you first contacted me on the 27th, and I called you on the 29th.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, so it started for me on Boxing Day 2014. Late at night, and because it was Boxing Day, it's the sort of day that you don't forget, and I thought, oh goodness me, what's happened to my arm, because it was itching like mad, sort of itch.
Oh.
You scratch it and it doesn't make any difference, and it felt like a deep itch underneath
oh.
my skin. Oh, no, what have I done? Have I been bitten by something? Have I been,
yeah.
There's not really any poisonous plants in the UK that would do something like that. So I could not sleep. I put everything on it that I could. I put steroid cream on it. I took antihistamines. Could not get rid of it. It was horrendous. But then over the next couple of days, it did calm down a bit. But it was like quite a big patch on my forearm, probably about 2 inches by 4 inches, really raised. And big itchy patch. So no, I didn't know what on earth it was, but eventually it went down. But then a few days later, felt this felt like something was biting me on my finger. But what on earth is that? And went to look at somewhere where there was bright enough light, and all I could see was this little black thing sticking out of my finger. So, of course, we all immediately panic because I think, oh no, is it some sort of mite thing? And what's it doing under my skin? And I think then it disappeared back into my skin, and I thought, oh no, what's this? And as people who were, working in families, and, I had people around for dinner, big family, I was cooking a roast dinner, so that I'm just going to have to get on with that and think about this later. But basically, I thought, I must have some sort of parasite. What on earth is it? And I was panicking greatly, not sure what to do, and started looking up on the internet. Now that we've got the internet, it was great, so I could have a good research about it, and very soon came across the idea of Morgellons. Very soon realized that if I went to the doctor or the A&E department, I would not get a sympathetic ear. So I thought, well, what I've got to try and do is see what it is, see if I can really find out what it is. My daughter had a toy microscope, not a very expensive one, and she'd left home by then. I think she was at uni. But I found it in the cupboard. And talked to my husband about it a bit, who's a qualified medical doctor, but he was quite sort of, disbelieving, really, about it. But so the next time I had something that was like half in and out of my skin, and it was like higher up on my arm, and I said, look, there's this thing coming out of my skin. can you see? And he said, oh, yeah, okay, I see it. Right. So I said, I'm going to get that out and I'm going to stick it under the microscope and let's see what it is. And underneath the microscope, it just looked like a bundle of fuzz. So I thought, okay, I'm not dealing with some sort of bird mite or anything like that. It is Morgellons. That's what I'm dealing with. So now I've got to think about what am I going to do about it. So then I was looking around all the different websites and fairly quickly came across Mel's lovely site and looked at his protocol. And I just thought, I don't think I can do that. That looks like there's a lot of things on that list that I don't know what they are. I don't know what silver is. And it was a lot of things out of my experience, you know. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'm not quite sure about that. So then I went to Mr. Common Sense and looked at his site and read lots of stuff there. And I tried to do it myself, you know. I tried to kind of cobble something together of what he did. And so I did all some of the things he suggested, like the clean green. I got that and managed to find that in the UK. I I got rid of my duvet. I changed my sheets a lot. I had plastic covers on the mattresses, plastic covers on the pillows. I had some sort of plastic duvet thing, which is utterly horrible, but just trying to get everything sort of easily wipeable down. Started cleaning everything everywhere that I possibly could. So basically in a panic mode. And meanwhile, I knew that I needed to eat less sugar. So I was trying to do that, but failing. So at the same time as I was trying to like clean up my environment, I was failing drastically on the diet and trying to get the supplements. I was trying to cobble together some sort of supplements to take. But not doing very well. So I was having still a lot of symptoms, a lot of general itching all over my body, finding it hard to sleep, panicking, so not sleeping very well because of that either. Just really quite scared. But I was praying. I am a Christian. I do believe that Jesus is my Savior, died for me, and, you know, I am in, you know, believing that I'm in his hands and he's got me saved. So I'm praying about it all. And I got to the point sort of June of 2015, where I just sort of thought, oh, I don't think I can do this on my own anymore, God.
August 22nd.
Was it? I just sort of thought that I need to be part of a community. I need to do this with other people.
9/28.
Right. So I was praying about it, and then I just went back here to Mel's site and looked at the forum, and the top thing on the forum that day was welcome to the UK and Europe. And God just spoke to me through that, and I just took that as an absolute sign from God that this is what you do, this is what you've got to plug into, this is, you know, this is the way forward. So I looked at the site and I looked at the instructions that Mel had put there, and it's like the first thing that Mel said was read through the forum. So I took that to heart, and I started back right at the beginning. So I started back at the very, very first post, and I read for about half an hour every day for about 6 weeks. And that was doable for me, because we all look at phones, don't we? We all, you know, not so many books these days, but it was doable for me, and I just had it as part of my daily routine. And I wasn't looking at the protocol then, particularly. I was just looking at the website, and I was doing what I felt the instructions were, which was to read the forum and find out, you know, what people have done in the past, who's been on it, read their stories. So because I started at the back and I did a page at a time, so I would just read through every post on that page, and some of them went back a long way. So as I made my way through, you know, some of those, they were like long posts. And I read through people's stories that, to me, became my friends. Those people, Monica became my friend, Teresa did, Justin, Peter, they all became my friends because they had similar symptoms that they were working through. And I read about how they tackled the protocol, and I read about what happened with their symptoms, and I read about them getting better. And it was incredibly comforting to me. At the same time, I was listening to the conference calls, and again, they were only once a month at that time. So I went right back to the beginning, to the very first conference calls, and I listened to them from the beginning back to the more recent ones. And so then I heard people's voices that I knew from, you know, from writing in the forum, and I heard them talking, and slowly kind of caught up with their journeys, you know, from what I was reading. And it was that process that convinced me to do Mel's protocol.
My first thank you came on November 23rd.
Was it?
You sent me two that day. Two thank yous.
Oh,
and then the next emails were on the 23rd of before Christmas. We talked about a Christmas and a Skype call.
There you go. Yes. Because I realized that I wanted to get onto the conference calls, and I thought, well, I can't do it by telephone. It's too expensive from the UK. And I didn't know anything about Skype, but I thought maybe that's a way that I could do it. And and it was amazing for that little while, wasn't it, with Skype for us. We just paid a small amount of money just to get some telephone time. And so that was just wonderful to be able to join in the conference calls. And, you know, and that was what I needed. I needed to be part of a community.
Right. To ask the questions of the people that you read about, who you also then heard their voices, who were further along in the healing process, wasn't that fantastic for your ability to stick to it?
It was amazing. It was amazing because Mary was on then, and obviously Peter was around then. It was just wonderful, to have a conversation with people who I already regarded as friends because of reading their stories, and then to actually sort of meet them over the telephone lines. Yeah, it was wonderful, very reassuring.
I try to tell people from our community today, where there is very little community interaction, that is probably part of the reason it takes longer for people to get well, okay, today. Not only is it more difficult because the world is more toxic, but because in our community, the people themselves are so afraid of the conditions that exist in our world today that they don't communicate with one another out of fear, which is the opposite of what people should be doing in order to enhance the ability to restore oneself. Amen.
Mm.
You agree, Ruth?
Yes, I do agree. And, I started writing in the forum, I think because I was so grateful for those other stories that I had read and it had inspired me. So
I call that pay it forward. And
you
have to break the arms of this group to get them to pay it forward. It's very sad for me.
It wasn't only unselfish reasons. It was also selfish reasons for me to write, because it increased my involvement in the community. And I think that the more you give to a community, the more you get out of it. So it works for me as well, because I just put it all out there. You know, I just emptied how I felt, what I was feeling, you know, I'm scared, or, you know, this has happened to me, what do I do? You know, I just put it all out there, so very, very openly.
But you got answers.
I got answers, and it was very, very therapeutic for me. Yes, and I had that sense of people becoming my friends who were, you know, contemporary with me at the time, and... Yeah, so again, it was a good record for me, because I could then look back at my posts and think, oh gosh, you know, 6 months ago I wrote that, and now look at where I am now. So it was a good memory.
You know who really got you into Skype?
Yes, it got me into Skype.
No, you know who really got you into Skype?
Pardon?
Do you know who really got you into Skype?
I can't remember now.
Speak up, young lady. You got leprechauns, whether you know it or not. Speak up.
Was it me that got you into Skype?
It was you that got everybody. You made all the posts on Skype all the time.
Well done. I mean, you've done fantastically, Chrissy, you know, advertising, you know, and trying, encouraging people to get involved.
You know, it's sad that people are not reaching out as much now as they used to, because it's very true what you say, like in other years that there was so much cohesion, so much community, and it's so important. Like you say, it's such a difficult illness to go through. And for people to find the website, and there's still vast amounts of people are coming through the website, and I'm sure listening to the conference calls as well. And you know, and that's the wonderful thing about, you know, people all over the world being able to access it as well, and being able to actually, I was the same before I actually joined the community. I used to listen and not listen. I wasn't part of the conference calls. I used to read, you know, Justin, Monica, Teresa. You know, I used to read all their stories. And before I actually reached out, because I was really, really ill at that point, and I just, you know, and every day I would read these stories, and it would help me hugely not to feel so alone. Just like what you said, because these people were going through all this weird stuff, and I was like, oh my God, that's the same as what I'm going through. That's the same what I'm, you know, and I was sorry for everybody that they had went through it and was going through it. But it's so important for people. And I always say that you don't need to do this alone. You do not need to do this alone. And it's day and night. For 6.5 years, I did it alone, and 3 times I was severely, severely ill with it. And it makes such a huge difference when you become part of a community, because you're ostracized. Like you say, family members don't believe, friends don't believe, you know, you're in disbelief yourself for a long time before you actually think, oh, please don't let it be that. And it is that. And then you have to go through all of that. And you've got the grief and the loss of what you're, you know, what you can't do, and you're struggling. How am I going to get through this? You just don't see a way out. And then you come to this community, and then you realise this isn't weird. Well, it's weird for us all, but what I mean is everybody understands everything that we're saying. And everything, and, you know, thanks for your honesty about your journey and talking about the fibres and stuff like that. I remember all of that myself, and so does Mel and everybody else, and it's very distressing. And that's why it's a hand across the oceans reaching out.
All right, stop.
I didn't expect
Mel
to phone back,
second.
You know?
Thank you, Mr. Interruption is interrupting.
It's all right.
I remember you almost fainted the day I called you, and you kept saying, "You're from where? Isn't that in America? You're calling me from America?"
Wait a minute, you're not. It's you. You're 40? Really? Because my friends say to me, "No one from there is going to phone you. Are you joking? They're not going to phone Scotland. Are you kidding me?" And you phoned me out of the blue, and because I emailed you, I said, "Please help me," because I was just on my knees. I was literally on my knees, and I couldn't take it anymore. And you phoned me within like a couple of days or whatever. You got the email, and you phoned me, and I was like, I said to my friend, "I can't believe it. That guy from that community, he phoned me from America." And just like it was, you know, everything you say, Ruth, is true. And both of us didn't expect, because we're thousands of miles away from America. I thought, they'll look after their own. They won't speak to us because we're too far away. You know, we might be able to post, but we won't really be a cohesive part of that community. They'll just look after themselves because their own country. And it couldn't be further from the truth.
Well,
it didn't take any time at all, you know.
I'll put it to you this way, okay? The very first person I ever helped was in the very first year, was in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay? She had that little boy, okay, who is now a professional soccer player who we can't name, okay? But he got the trains that I had in my showroom in the Reno Care Center way back in 05, I guess. I got trains and put them in the showroom. And then I expanded it and put it in the floor in the window at Christmas. Oh, man, brought all the kids, their mothers brought back, and what a good idea that was. But, I mean, it didn't matter where anyone was from, okay?
Yeah.
Because there's too many ways. And now Zoom, we're getting used to it, where you can actually see the person and talk to them. It's probably even better than Skype. Okay? It's just getting used to how to work Zoom. I mean, I'm not perfect at it, as was evident in... All right, stop laughing at me, Ruth. She's laughing because I botched the last call.
Well, it's a mystery to me. I couldn't do it.
Hey.
No clue.
Some days I can, and some days I can't.
Well, people anyway. Don't know, wait, I love your backdrop smell, because usually you're in the Caribbean, you know, and today you're on top of a glacial mountain, so it's very dramatic.
Well, very I'm going to have you stay on the call when everybody leaves, Chris. I need to show you something. So, you know how we weren't really happy with the recovery of the skin cancer?
Yeah.
So we got together with Robert Scott Bell last Monday, maybe Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I Zoomed with him and I showed him. And he said, "All right, that's not working. Tell that lady to give you your money back." I said, no. He said, "Let's try this, okay?" Well, we come up with a new way to treat skin cancer, and you're going to see in 3 days it's 60% gone.
Well, I hope so. I'm always waiting.
No, all right, Chris. Lacking
number.
Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Well done, Chris.
I'm telling you, you're going to stay here, and then you're going to make a post. That son of a gun. He's done it again.
Okay.
Hey, I got to look good when I go by trains, you know. All right. So, Luke, at the time you was a husband, was poo-pooing my protocol.
He was. He basically told me, "Ruth, you mustn't do that. You'll do damage to yourself drinking silver." And basically, "And how are you going to get the stuff from America?" And I thought, I don't know. So I had to, if my husband says, "I don't want you to do that," it kind of creates a little bit of a difficulty in a relationship. So I took it to God and I said, I just prayed about it for quite a few days consistently, quite desperately, saying, God, would you please, if it's right for me to do this, would you please speak to him? He did actually feel that God said to him, let Ruth try it. So, you know, that was an answer to prayer. So then I had to, you know, look and see about where I was going to find all this stuff. But, you know, again, it was great. Logos Nutrition, they're so wonderful sending stuff to the UK. And whenever I've had issues of postage, you know, import fees and that, they've worked their way around it. There was something recently, which was, I don't know if you had trouble recently, Chrissy, with either for some reason suddenly there was a big extra charge, but they managed to sort that out.
Yes, I had the same thing a few months ago, and then they completely sorted it out. They've been absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
They've been excellent, and Mel's been excellent with it, and, you know, I'm very grateful.
Yeah, Mel, sometimes you sort of run the logos for me, you know, when there's been issues with stuff, and you've got them.
Nobody
can see that.
Nobody
can see that. Mel just roared like a lion on Zoom for people that can't see this.
What? Oh, you saw that? You saw me raise my arms and grip my teeth? Yeah, I guess so. All right, I better behave. Hey, what do you guys think of my new handsome?
Very smart.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I should be accepted in many more places now.
Grows that ponytail, then cuts it off, and grows it, then cuts it off, and then grows it, then cuts it off.
Well, that's how we know the difference between
the ponytail.
That's how we know the difference between summer and winter in my house.
Ah, okay.
At the end of May, the beginning of June, it's summer, and then at the end of September, the beginning of October, it's winter.
Good.
So I have two different looks, and people will say to me, listen, Mel, why do you have two different looks? And I said, if women can have 47 different looks, a man can have two different looks. All righty. There we go.
Well, Ruth, some things never change. He's always got a retort, a funny retort.
Oh, gosh.
Very quick on the mark.
You know, people tell me I've been funny, but, you know, I had a lot of practice. I had younger brothers. I had twin boys. And I learned to tell stories. And then when Grandpa was close to dying, he asked me to promise that I would call Grandma every day and try to make her laugh when he was gone. And I did.
Oh.
I did. My Grandma and I watched many Kentucky Derby horse races together because she would get dressed up, prop herself up in bed, bring a hat out of the closet, put it on, okay, take pictures and send them to me, and she would be sitting there watching the race, and we'd be rooting the horses together. See, gaming or gambling is in my family's heritage. My grandmother owned a string of horses at Santa Anita Racetrack. My mother, as a 14 and 15-year-old, was a hot walker, which is someone who walked the horses after they had their training in the morning to cool them down before they give them water and feed them and put them back in the stall.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, I can't help it. It's in my blood. The good news is I'm pretty good at what I do.
Yeah.
So, anyway, your husband eventually got over it as you started to get better.
Yeah.
And at one time, did he take the protocol or any of it? Part of it?
I got him to take about 3 months worth of it, but he didn't want to carry on, you know. So you can't force it if somebody is not keen.
Never can, never will, and never going to happen. They don't want to drink. Hey, it's like if someone doesn't want to learn, then I tell them they're in the wrong place. Because if you don't learn, you can't get better. And another thing, Ruth, because I heard you mention prayer a few times, I tell people that there is a spiritual component to getting well. And if you don't have that within your being, no matter what else you're going to do, you probably are not going to get well. And people say, well, I'm not really that religious. And I said, well, neither am I. But I certainly believe in a higher power than any of us, and I believe in God, okay? You don't have to run around carrying a sign, but if you don't at all, good luck, because Peter and I used to fight about this when Peter first came here. He said, if you don't believe in God, you'll never get well. But then he picked on some Catholics one time. And then he also picked on some poor Jewish college girl another time. But hey, I don't care what you believe in, as long as it's something that's not on the planet. None of us have any kind of real power, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. All right.
Yeah. There were times when I did struggle, you know, with commitment to keeping going, and there were times when I got discouraged, times when I thought, am I really doing the right thing? But then I could always go back to that initial time that I felt, you know, when I looked at the website and it said, welcome to the UK, I felt as if I had like, oh, a definite leading to the website. And so I just used to tell myself, Ruth, this is what you're supposed to be doing. So I would just keep telling myself, you're doing the right thing, just keep doing it. You know, so that I made myself not give up, basically, or just keep believing. And it wasn't as if I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to get better, because I always had it in mind that, well, you know, some people do get better. You know, it doesn't absolutely, you know, always mean that everybody's going to absolutely get better. Well, that's what I thought anyway. But I knew I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was just kind of, I was like following orders, basically. And just sticking to it. And I think I am blessed with a certain personality that is quite, I don't know how you describe it really, regimented. I like things to be regimented. I quite like to follow rules. Give me a guideline and I will, I'm pretty determined to stick to it. And for me, I was addicted to sugar. So when Mel did the telephone call, it was with quite a few instructions, and one was stop eating sugar, stop eating potatoes, stop eating bread, stop eating rice. Basically, it was like, oh, right, okay. But, you know, I did what I was told, and, yeah, I had to just totally, like we all do, just had to totally reorganize what you eat for every single meal of the day.
The bottom line, Ruth, is it worth it when you get well and get your life back?
Of course it is. Yes, of course it is. And it's fantastic. And, of course, you know, I was so unhealthy. You know, my diet was so bad. You know, so it meant that actually, you know, here I am taking all these wonderful vitamins. This wonderful protocol. I love the colloidal silver. Now I now drink it. You know, I make my own. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I've got a silver brewer. So you know. Yeah. So and I've got into herbal medicine. I mean, it has totally transformed my life and in a really brilliant way. So my diet is obviously totally different. I do occasionally have the dessert and. You know, and then I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. Then I have to pull back from it, you know. But I can manage the occasional dessert without anything bad happening. It's only if I go a bit crazy and start having it every day. It's not good. But.
I have some questions when there's a breaking point.
No, you can ask them now. That is Julie. And let me tell you, Ruth, she's 100% going to get well. This one does everything.
Brilliant.
She is brilliant, this one. She wants to get better. And she's willing to put in the work. we talk three times, four times a week. She always has questions every time we talk. And I give her homework, and it appears that she doesn't.
Way to go.
Go, Julie, go. Question.
Okay, so what? The first question is, did your husband get it or anyone else in your family? And then the second question is, on WPS dosage, when? How did you know, like, oh, this is the limit, and then start retreating, and then how did you know that you were well completely?
Okay, so let's take the first question first. Give us the first question again.
The first question is, did anyone else think that you lived with or in your family get the Morgellons?
Can you just repeat the question now?
He wants to know if anyone else in the family or who you lived with got Morgellons.
No, nobody did. And I was so terrified that I had an elderly mum who was in my care, and I was scared to hug her. But of course I had to hug her. And I had children. I was scared to go into my daughter's university room because I didn't want to infect her room. But I didn't. The only person I told was my husband at that time of the family. I didn't tell anybody else at the time. I had to, but they never caught it. The answer to the question, Julie, is nobody else got it. I was petrified, obviously, but no, they didn't.
I've always said, Julie, that if someone has a good immune system, strong, they can't get this disease. We never see people who are really very healthy who are sick. It's always people who have
But her mother was elderly, you know, elderly. Sure, she was... dealing with an elderly
person.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean her mother wasn't in decent condition. Age, hey, I'm 80 years old. Do I act 80? Do I look 80? Do I sound 80? No.
Yeah, but we all got it, huh? We all got it.
I was ill because in 2011, my dad died. In 2012, I got shingles.
That was the first time your immune system was being attacked.
And I knew it was stress because my mum had dementia, so I was suddenly looking after my mum and dealing with the fact that my dad died. So I knew my immune system was shot, but at that stage I didn't know how to make it better. You know, if I had done the right interventions at that time, stopped the sugar, taken the supplements, had more rest, you know, I might have avoided it, but I didn't know, you know, and what you don't know is you can't do anything about.
Okay, the other part is how do you know you reach the peak WPS dosage and then start
you reach your maximum dose of WPS. I told you.
Well, because you have to remember I was at the I was at a certain point in the evolution of the protocol. So I was still at the time where we took it twice a day. Or was it? No, it was just once a day. At night. And yes, and you just kept increasing the drops until you had a sort of a crisis point at that time. And I think I was at 17 drops, something like that. And I just said to Mel, I felt really rough the other night. is that my point where I can just sort of reduce it? And so then we took it back to 3. So I stayed on 14. But it is different now, isn't it, Mel?
Right, we split it because 14 is really the average max. But if we found if you break it down to 2 doses, they reproduce less, so it should make it a quicker fix. But because of all the other circumstances, it's really not a quicker fix. But you just don't want to do that to your body, okay? You break it down, we want to do it more gently, slower, because if you don't get every single one of them, Ruth, they can reproduce if you make a mistake at a phenomenal cycle. So what was the third part? How did you know when you were all well?
Yeah, the third part is how did you know that you were all well, and then what maintenance program did you stay on?
How did you know when you were all better, and what's your maintenance program like?
Well, I mean, it was in consultation with you, Mel,
I'll interrupt you, and then I'll let you finish. I always know when people are better before they do, because they're involved. Okay, there's an emotion attached to it, okay? There's a lot of things attached to it. But I'm not. But after hearing, I don't know, Ruth, if I say 5,000 stories, do you think that's too many?
No, I'm sure.
Okay,
I'm sure
so at least 5,000 stories, maybe more. I don't know. I mean, you know, we always average out 500 to 600 new people a year. In fact, today, we're not even at the end of the month. And we've already got over 250,000 pages read. I mean, it's incredible. People are reading, they're just not talking. So, she knew she was all better because I knew she was all better by the questions I ask you every time I do coaching with someone and the answers they give me. Those answers, even if it seems harmless, the question is, there is a reason for them. Go ahead.
Because I think I was on the full protocol, and I think it was about 3 months of just absolutely no symptoms. And so then it was backing down.
We reduced the extension protocol.
Yeah.
Then we come up with what we thought would be a maintenance plan for her. And I don't know, you know, she'll tell you more. Is that about right?
Basically, yeah, I stayed on the basic protocol. And I stayed on the extension for quite a while to begin with. I don't take it all now, but I've still got the basic protocol. Obviously, I still take the silver because I love the silver. But I kept the diet. I was very, very strict on the diet for a long time because basically we're still scared, aren't we? And we're terrified of it coming back. So if ever I went away anywhere, I would always take the WPS with me as a sort of a bit of a backup. Oh, just in case I'm not very well and I'm away, you know, then I can start the drops. But, you know, I never needed to. I think that, but then I did have a little bit of a blip in 2018, and got in touch with Mel because I think I'd basically been eating too much of the wrong things.
Speaking about eating the wrong things, nobody believes me when I tell them the story of the lemon meringue pie you baked and sent me for Christmas. Would you please?
I'm so glad I sent it because it's given you this great story to tell.
Thank you. All I can say is it's because of you today that there is never not a lemon meringue pie in the fridge. I mean, two or three mornings a week, I have lemon meringue pie with coffee for breakfast.
Wow.
I don't always eat all the meringue, okay?
No.
But I don't, because it's the lemon. And if you have that good crust, not everybody understands a good crust. But when it comes to you, Ruth, the only thing I got was crust. It looked like the package had been opened minimum two times. It was a shambles.
Terrible.
Oh, boy. But,
can I
know,
ask another question?
Certainly.
One other question is, did you soak your feet? And did when you were well, then nothing rolled off your feet or anything anymore?
So she's asking if when you got well, did you take WPS foot baths and find nothing come out.
Yes, I did that. I did that to make sure. That was one test I did do. And yeah, and I thought, okay, when there's nothing there. And sometimes I would put WPS in the big bath, you know, and have a bath and, you know, put stuff in there. And if nothing came out, it's like, yes.
Can you see the split screen? Can you see me clearly?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a split screen. Can you see both I and Ruth, Chris?
Yes, yes.
Isn't that amazing? Ask me how I did it, and I'll tell you I have no idea.
Oh,
Julie, what else, darling?
So, Ruth, do you think it's dormant in you?
This is what I don't know, Julie, because occasionally I will see a little black speck. And sometimes it's if I've been very stressed, and I have to say life is quite stressful for me and carried on being stressful, you know, with my mum, other elderly relatives and other family situations. So I don't know if it's that, or I don't stay on the strict diet anymore because I think sometimes I just need a little bit of eating something nice. But I don't, that is the worst of my symptoms that I ever see. And it's that I have to look with a magnifying glass. Mel would say, why do you look with a magnifying glass? Don't look with a magnifying glass on your skin, because it's not a good thing to do.
Creates anxiety when you see something that you don't think should be there.
I know.
Okay, so why do that to yourself?
I know.
Once you really do.
I know, Ruth, I would rather not know if there was anything tiny there. I'd rather not see it, you know.
Like that. Yeah, and that's it. And basically, it's just by chance that maybe I see, oh, but it's not like big lumps of stuff that it used to be.
No. Let's talk about the colors. Okay.
I would have bits of glitter. Like, they were very pretty coming out of my feet.
That was near the end of when you first got well. Today, when people say, well, do you think it's dormant? Okay, that has been a debatable question ever since the beginning. Okay? Peter would swear it is. John, Robert Scott Bell, Ashley, Dr. Ed, they don't know. Personally, the way I eat, I would think it's not dormant in me. Okay? So, you know, I have to feel no, okay? Mm-hmm. But there are people who will disagree with me, and there are people who just say, I don't know, okay? But I say no, okay? If you kill it all, okay, now black. If you see a black spot, that's not a terrible thing. That means that whatever this little devil was, parasite, whatever you want to, okay, he came out of your body when he was alive, if he's black, because your body is inhospitable for his environment, for the environment he wishes to live in. When they're beige and sandy color, they came out after they died slowly. But black, dark color, okay, almost the glass that we saw back in the day, okay, the crystals, the colors. I'm not sure that wasn't what was being sprayed in the air back then that created that as far as what came out. Yeah, because today you don't hear about that nearly as much, but you hear about other stuff, okay?
Okay.
What else, Julie?
Oh, okay, yes, about your hair. My hair, every time, the ends always stick together. Did your hair start, did you ever have an issue with your hair, and did it ever resolve?
My hair, do you know, it didn't affect my hair would sort of like move around a bit.
Right.
Not big clumps of it, but just it looked like static. really.
Right. We call it dancing hair.
That's so, yeah, so like individual hairs would sort of move around.
Bottom line. I know I had it. I had dancing hair. I used to dance all the time when I was young. Then I got old, and the only thing that danced was my hair.
Your hair. There seems to be an electric component to this. We seem to be, like, it's hard to describe with, but my hair would be standing up on edge, and other things would be coming out of my toes and standing up on edge. But there was things coming out of my toes that I sent to an entomologist, and there wasn't any insects in it. But how was it standing up on edge on my toes? It was like wee seed things. It was very strange. And there was no insect in it or anything. But people have mentioned that it seems to be, and I have a lot of electricity. People get electric shocks touching me, or I can get electric shocks touching a lot of things. And I was always like that. But I think this illness, it can affect you electrically as well. But I would say that my hair got very, very wiry, very wiry. And it'd always been soft and, you know, really soft and really nice, silky. And it went into wiry. And then my dog that got affected when I got sick, her hair was soft and her fur was soft and downy. And it became very wiry for that period when she was ill. And then when we both started improving, her fur was soft again and my hair was soft again. Isn't that interesting?
Did you have to treat your dog?
Did I have to? Did you have to treat your dog? Yes. I was putting silver in her water, and she was getting food grade diatomaceous earth internally. I was powdering her with it. But before that, I would spray her every day with apple cider vinegar and water. And then when I got clean green, see, for about 4.5 years, I was using apple cider vinegar and water on both of us every day, spraying us down. And then I found clean green, and that was a game changer for that itchy sensation, as we all know. And basically, I would then spray my dog and spray me. But then later on, I would dust her with diatomaceous earth, and that was really good. And then give her it internally and lots of silver. The silver was really, really, really helpful for her. And other things, like you could give her MSM and stuff like that, the sulfur. Obviously, we all take sulfur soap, and we know that the sulfur, you know, and so she could get things like sulfur and other things like that as well. And when I got better, she got better. If I was worse, she was worse. It was me that was affecting her, not the other way around, because I had already had this before I got her, and I didn't realize what I had before it was too late, and then both of us were affected. But she lived with me. I got her at 18 months. She lived for another 13 and a half years. And she, you know, we both fought it together. Twice I was really bad with it when I had her and she was bad with it, and I thought, oh my God, what are we going to do? And we both fought through it together, and I'm so proud of her. You know, she went through a lot, and so did I, and she saw me through a lot of it as well. And so I, you know, but she was a wee fighter, and she loved life, and she loved being with her mum, and that was that. So I don't know, Julie, if you've got any animals, but stick in there, because, we got there in the end. And when she got really ill at one point, she had to get doxycycline and metronidazole, Flagyl, Lyme medication, and she had that for a few months or whatever, and that happened a few times, and she was fine. But if you think, she went lame at one point, and she was falling over, and I had to get her on. She got immune breakdown. I had to get her on high-dose steroids at one point because she got really ill. And then I got her, I said to the vet, I want her on Lyme medication. And she went on the Flagyl and the doxycycline for months. And you do need to put them on, because it's a form of Lyme, isn't it? And you do need to put them on the doxycycline. If you see they get a fever or they get lame, And with them, the testing can be false negative as well and not very competent. So if they get these symptoms and they're not eating and, you know, it's good to get them on the doxycycline and not just for a couple of weeks, you know, for months. Anyway, she lived to be an old lady of almost 15. So, you know, she fought through it, and both of us were determined girls together. So you can help the animals a lot, you know.
Okay, so it can cross species then.
Well, it's in the environment, and if I'm shed, I was really ill again. One of the things I have to say is she brought in fleas, and I used some kind of pesticide, and that made me full blown again by that night. Now it had permethrin in it, and that will weaken your immune system. It absorbed through my skin and made me full blown again for the second time, just within a few hours. So what this illness is a stealth pathogen, which means that it will take advantage of any vulnerability or weakness that you've got. So it's imperative that we keep our immune system strong and we stay away from toxins. You know, you can't be near pesticides. You can't be, you know, any of these things. We need to really be careful.
Mm-hmm. All right, Julie.
Interesting.
Any more questions from Ruth? Okay.
Okay, so is Ruth on the basic protocol or no protocol at all?
I'm still on the basic protocol. I still get it from Logos. I think I'll stay on it for the rest of my life.
Staying on the basic protocol is cheaper and smarter than having to go to a hospital or a doctor. Okay. And she tilted her head yes.
Yeah.
Are you agree, Ruth?
Yeah. I mean, I still, you know, health issues still do come up. Basically, I think because of stress. I've had sort of issues because of stress this past year. But I would not stop the basic protocol.
All right. Julie, anything else? Because we're going to ask Ruth, what would she tell people in closing?
Okay, what does your husband now believe that you had Morgellons?
Sorry, what was that now?
She wants to know if your husband believes now that you had Morgellons.
Yeah, he did. He does believe it. And, you know, when we looked at it together, you know, under the microscope, and he then did some reading about Morgellons and acknowledged that it's a real disease. And he acknowledges that I had it, but... You know, doctors are brainwashed in their training, sadly, medical doctors. And, you know, he was trained in pharmaceuticals, which now makes me want to cry because I know the evil of pharmaceutical medicines. But, you know, that's just the way their brains work because they're so deeply entrenched in their training. And he really did not want to engage with what was happening in my body because it would just absolutely went against his training that he had been thoroughly, you know, brainwashed with. So I still tell, I still have to sort of remind him sometimes because he'll say, oh, you're not eating chips or something. I say, I can't eat chips. And says, why can you not eat chips? I say, no, I have to stay on a low carb diet. I have to still watch my carbs. So I do still watch, you know, my net carbs. But then I don't mind that because I think it's a healthier thing anyway. So he does acknowledge it. I'd say he still struggles with it because of the strange sort of, you know, it's like. You know, he would call me a total conspiracy theorist about all sorts of things. He, you know, I think he thinks I'm slightly bonkers. But then, you know, it's just like, Do you know what I mean?
It's a completely different ethos, isn't it? I mean, if you're steeped in that kind of medical model, it's very threatening for what you've believed in for years to be challenged, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because, yes, you know, you have to start going down the rabbit hole of why do doctors insist. I mean, I think it's getting better now, isn't it? But it, certainly 10 years ago, it was still regarded as a delusional disease, and perhaps is still by some, parts of the world.
Is it better? I don't think it's any better. I've not heard anyone say that they've had any positive results with doctors or any. Because there isn't any science to back up what we're saying.
Yeah, and if they
try, and they need that.
And if they try to utilize our protocol, they can lose their license.
Sadly, very sadly.
In power and control, isn't it, by Big Pharma and everything?
Yeah, but RFK Jr. and Trump are doing their best to bust them up a little.
Go, Trump.
All right, Ruth. This is a great quote.
One last question,
Julie. Boy, see what I mean about her, Ruth?
You're brilliant, Julie.
Good girl. Go ahead. One more.
So, Ruth, you mentioned that you're into. So now, are you're more more lean towards. I don't know, sort of Eastern or herbal remedies more so now?
Absolutely. And actually, I was starting to get interested in plant medicine back in 2014, just walking down my lane, which is a country lane where I live, looking at the plants and thinking, I wonder if there's things in those plants that are good. And so this is the Wormorgellons. And then, and I actually bought a herbal medicine book. But then it was like, oh, Morgella just sort of like interrupted that a little bit. I go on herbal medicine courses and I'm a complete beginner, but I just love plants. And, you know, and I'm just amazed at how helpful they are. So I will always turn to plants before pharmaceuticals. So
yeah.
I very rarely take paracetamol. I go to willow bark tincture because that's a natural anti-inflammatory pain reliever, and it's just brilliant. So, you know, so that's a totally wonderful new thing as well.
Thank you.
That's very interesting. I've never heard of willow bark, Ruth.
Give it a little Google and see what you think.
I will do.
Because it grows in abundance in the UK. You know, it's the white willow. I can't remember the actual name of it, but it's the alba one. The white Salix alba. That's the Latin name. And you can strip the bark off it. Soak it in vodka, and you've got medicine.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think I might rely on a herbalist for that in case I strip the bark off the wrong thing and poison myself.
You have to get the correct ID. You have to be very, very sure on your ID. But, you know, it's like if we're walking down a country lane, you know, and just noticing what's growing there and learning to
Absolutely. The second last place I used to live in, I made friends with a woman with a wee doggy, and he was best pals with Ollie. And basically, she was a horticulturist, and when we went a walk, it was amazing. She's like, oh yeah, there's the elderflower, and she said, come up this lane. What do you think of that? I said, is that weed? She went, no. She said, that is well-grown lemon balm and mint leaf. And so for the next 6 months when I still lived there, I had the most wonderful lemon balm, you know, tea and mint tea. And I slept like a baby with that lemon balm. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's a Nervine, so it will help you relax, and it's also antiviral, so it will help fight off stuff.
Oh, the antiviral. Well, my friend's actually making oat biscuits for her for her dogs with lemon balm and chamomile as we speak.
Brilliant.
Pretty cool.
All right.
There you go. That's done my bit on the herbal stuff.
Great. Thank you. What would you tell those who are going to listen to this call in the future? You know, what would you tell them? I mean, you know, it's so hard to get them to do things today, but what would you tell them? You've been well, I don't know, 8-9 years?
Well, it's an opportunity to not only restore your health, but just have a new outlook on life, and like Mel says, to choose life, you know, choose life, not death, choose hope, not despair, and my goodness me, be disciplined in a way that you've never ever been before in your life.
Right, it's not getting just well now, it's now you're prepared to deal with everything that's going to come in the future. Because our world is not going to get less toxic, and unfortunately, more people are going to get sick as time goes on. But once you get well here, you know how not to get sick again. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, things do still kick in, because as we get older, stuff kind of, you know, still sort of dealing with stuff, lumps and bumps or whatever sort of things, or joints wearing out or whatever. So there's still stuff happening, but you don't always have to take the pills. You know, there's other ways around, and Mel's a wonderful source of information of how to tackle various, you know, medical issues. So, yeah, So I used to rely on doctors. I used to put my faith in doctors and pharmaceuticals. And I now sort of think, why? You know, because it's all totally upside down. It's poison. And they don't make you better. All they do is, you know, make money for the drug companies.
And they mask the symptoms, don't they? And they never treat us as in a holistic way, like a mind, body, spirit, you know. It's just about what is your symptom. We will mask it. Sad, isn't it, that in the Western society it's not evolved, you know. It should be some kind of hybrid by now, a mix of herbs and pharmaceuticals working together, but, you know, but they've got their own kind of system, and they make the money out of it, and like you said, that they believe that works. There's a time and place when we need these medicines, but like you say, it's a last resort after we've tried all the natural things first, yeah? I think so.
I think so, yeah. So yeah, sometimes we have to go for the drugs that are a bit harsh on the body, but there's other places to things to do first. And I know not all doctors are evil. They're lovely, and if I go to A&E, you know, with a scratch on my eyeball, which I did, you know, sort of about a year ago, and I think, oh, I'm so grateful for doctors that can look at my eye.
I was trying on a T-shirt in a shop, and I pulled it over my head, and you know, there was a serrated tag that went into my eye and cut my eyeball.
No.
You would never believe in that. So I had to wear an eye patch for ages, walking about like Long John Silver, the pirate. Which reminds me of the pictures Mel gets of you.
I know, crazy.
But, you know, but aren't full circle here.
But aren't we grateful for doctors then, you know, that kind of know, and grateful for antibiotic eye drops. You know, I know that there is a place for
absolutely
those. Well,
but yeah. I think that what we're talking about is having discernment. And having our own voice, and we are having our own, we're listening to our own bodies. What do I need? We're not going like little children, believing the doctors are going to fix everything. Because, like, we might have been naive to think that before, but after having this illness and going through this, we all know better, don't we? So we will deal with them with discernment if we have to, but we will also have as much control as we can over our own health care as well, and not just give our bodies up to other people to deal with it.
I said it 17 years ago, and I'm going to say it today. Be thy own physician.
Yeah.
Be thy own physician. Ruth, God bless you for always willing to help and come back. You make a real good pirate, I'll tell you, girl. I love that ship. I'm going to try to go out and find a model that looks just like it.
Yeah.
And I'll cut out a picture of you and put it on the ship.
I mean, you'll try to be well. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks so much, everybody, for coming today. Really, this was a terrific call. There's a ton of information. I hope many people listen to it in the future and some actually take advantage of what we said here today. Ruth, God bless and thank you so much. Chrissy and Julie, thanks for all the input and the questions, Julie. I bet on you, Julie. I bet you're going to get well, and I don't like losing.
I bet you don't.
Everybody have a blessed day. And again, Ruth, thank you from the bottom of my heart, honey.
Thank you, Mel.
What
thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth. Lovely to see you and hear from you.
Yeah, bye, Ben. Thanks.
Bye-bye, everyone. God bless. Bye. Did you stay, Chris? Nope. Okay.